Howdy, neighbors. Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with livestock market economist Daryl Peel, talking exports, imports, and more in just a moment.
For more than 50 years, Ralgro with Zarinol has been known for heavier weaning weights that deliver greater revenue. How much greater exactly? Years of research prove that calves implanted with Ralgro have an average 23-pound weaning weight advantage over non-implanted calves. At today's feeder calf prices, it's easy to see how those extra pounds can result in a bigger check come sale day. And as far as the idea that non-implanted cattle sell for a premium, this is just not true based on Superior Livestock Auction data in over 3 million calves that consistently shows implanted calves bring the same price per pound as non-implanted calves. The math speaks for itself, and so do the results with Ralgro, the gold standard in calf implants that helps you aim even higher. Higher calf weights, higher returns, higher satisfaction. Learn more at Ralgro.com and look for Ralgro at your veterinarian or animal health supplier. A withdrawal period has not been established for Ralgro in pre-ruminating calves. Do not use in calves to be processed for veal.
We've been talking with livestock market economist Dr. Daryl Peel for literally years. And in recent months, more and more media outlets are discovering the wisdom that Dr. Peel has about the cattle market scene. And one of those outlets that talked to him from time to time, the K-State Radio Network, talking with Dr. Peel about several subjects, including where we are right now on beef exports coming back after lots of problems with COVID-19.
You know, the weekly data suggests that we've had a pretty good recovery in beef exports. We had severe disruptions in May and June. July exports, the monthly data, which is a little more complete, was back up. The weekly data since then would suggest we've continued to see pretty good recovery in most of our major markets. So, you know, again, kind of with our fingers crossed when we think about the broader economic problems on a global scale, it does look like most of our major markets have recovered and are continuing to move quite a bit of beef through those markets.
The pandemic has also had its impact on imports of beef.
Well, you know, the July data showed a sharp spike in beef imports. I think that probably was triggered by the disruptions in the flow of products in April and May, and it just takes a while. We saw a bit of a lag in the disruptions in exports, and we see a bit of a lag in the spike in imports. Probably won't last that long. I think it'll come back down as we go forward. But it's also related to the fact that we've had very strong ground beef demand. Both the grocery stores and, you know, the quick service restaurants are the one sector of the restaurant industry that has done relatively well and has recovered pretty well. And we've had lots of heavy fed cattle, which produce a lot of, you know, fatty trimmings, the 50% or 60% trimmings, and that needs a lot of lean to turn that into ground beef. And so I think that's probably where some of this demand for imports is coming from.
If we might, Daryl, let's switch gears, talk about feeder cattle prices. And one factor that could be worrisome, I think, in recent years, we've kind of assumed fairly cheap feed grain cost, but we've seen corn prices going up because of the Chinese buying U.S. corn. How much of a problem do you think this might be?
Well, I think we have to keep an eye on it. At this point, I don't think, I would see a lot of impact on feeder cattle markets. But if it were to continue and we start talking about bringing that, you know, projected carryover for this corn marketing year down, you know, below 2.5 billion bushels or down towards 2 billion, then we could begin to see that corn market start to really ration supplies. And that would certainly have an impact then on feedlot cost of gain and would be reflected in feeder cattle prices.
Finally, Daryl, we always need to ask the question at this time of year, what are you hearing out in the countryside regarding wheat pasture prospects for grazing cattle here in the fall of 2020?
I think the conditions for wheat pasture forage vary quite a bit depending on where you are. In some places, we had producers that were planting by the end of August. I talked to a producer the other day, said he had wheat up and it was growing rapidly, and he wasn't even too concerned about armyworms being able to catch up with it at this point. We have other producers that had actually, and this is in southern Oklahoma primarily, lots of moisture and were ready to plant but hadn't been able to get in the fields yet. In other areas, I think it's probably not been that generous with the moisture, so we're kind of waiting and seeing. And then this overriding picture of La Nina potentially developing could take the gas out of this thing, even for those producers that get off to a good start. So I think we certainly have to keep an eye on it. Right now, I would say there is some anticipation and expectation of some wheat pasture grazing, and that's going to translate into some demand for feeder cattle here over the next month or 6 weeks. if, in fact, conditions continue to move forward favorably.
Thank you, Daryl. Dr. Daryl Peel, Extension Livestock Market Economist in Stillwater at Oklahoma State University. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron. Express Ranch's fall bull sale is coming Monday, October 5th, 11 a.m. at the ranch in Yukon, Oklahoma, featuring 650 head on offer, 270 Angus bulls, 44 Hereford bulls, and a lot more. You can attend in person or see it live on SLA TV, Superior Livestock, or on liveauction.tv. Express Ranches provides genomically enhanced EPDs on their bulls. You can check out the sale catalog and sale videos for the fall bull sale at expressranches.com. And that's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes reporting.